Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm fearing we're slowly sounding like two middle-aged men now. Oh, you know, it's taking stock of life. Like, what's happening? Are we ill?
This is like therapy.
Hi, I'm Ramin Karimloo, and welcome to my podcast, The Hang, where I get to hang out with some of my friends and get some much-needed face-to-face time and talk about, well, whatever. Today I'm hanging with Simon Bailey. Simon is a great buddy of mine. Our time together has never passed without multiple laughs. He has a big, infectious, positive spirit. He has done incredible things on stage around the world. He has starred in The Phantom of the Opera, Les Mis, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, We Will Rock You, Parade, which he was critically acclaimed for and nominated for Best Supporting Actor in the Broadway World UK Awards. These are only a few of the many, many roles and shows Simon has done. He is also a founder member of Theaterland's first supergroup, Teatro. Teatro reached gold status just after 3 short weeks. That made Teatro the fastest selling musical theater act of all time. As you can imagine, time flew by when we got to hang and only touched the surface with his career, life, and whatever else our conversation naturally flowed into. I love any moment I get to spend with Simon. I love him dearly, and I'm grateful we got to hang. Folks, here's part one of my hang with my buddy, Simon Bailey.
So isn't this weird?
Well, it is weird. It is weird because then I haven't seen you in a long time. So I was trying to work this out. And was the last time I saw you in, like, saw you, was in New York?
Why New York? See,
do you remember?
I thought it was some another time.
See, I can't remember because I'm sure you were doing Anastasia.
Okay.
And I was over. Wait.
We sang in my dressing room.
No, that was when you were in Les Mis.
No, because wasn't. Oh, it was.
I came to meet you for breakfast around the corner from the theater. I'm sure it was.
Why were you in New York?
Because I had just finished doing a cruise and I had a day in New York before I was flying back. Right. And because I had that time, I got in touch with you and said, look, I've got like 6 hours. And you said, okay, cool, let's meet for breakfast. And I'm sure that's the last time I saw you, which is crazy.
So that's not as long as I thought it was. I thought last time I saw you was a West End Live gig where you were doing with the Jersey Boys.
Oh.
But if it was Anastasia, then it would have been 2017.
I think it was just after that because I think after I did Jersey Boys, because then there was a little bit of time so I could do things like, so it must have been that because that was when I was going to do the cruise or some of those cruises with the Knights. So I was doing that and then that was a transatlantic. And so we had a day, which was kind of like a nice kind of free holiday thing. And because I know I've got some friends in New York, I thought that'd be good to catch up with them. And then obviously you were doing the show. I didn't have time to see the show.
Right.
That was it. I didn't have time to see the show because I was going to be flying back in the evening. And that's why we met up for breakfast.
I remember now.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Because I've seen you probably 3 times in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Twice in New York. And once at West End Live.
Yeah.
Why is life on fast forward, man?
Well, because I think it's such a good question because I think everyone, we all have this thing, don't we, of trying to keep up with people and trying to do the best we can to stay up with people. But you just, I mean, one person gets really busy and the other person's not. The other person gets really busy and that's just how things go, isn't it? And you try your best to keep up and see everybody, but it's just, it kind of gets impossible because everyone's on a different schedule.
But back when we were in Phantom together.
Yeah.
Life wasn't this fast.
No, I don't think so. But then I guess variety kicks in, doesn't it, I suppose? I mean, back then, of course, you know, it was just, I mean, you gone super busy and you were starting to do stuff all over the place. You know, so you were kind of in different countries here, there and everywhere. And excuse me, because you've done a lot of stuff in Japan, a lot of stuff in America and all that stuff. So it becomes more and more difficult, of course, when you country hop, then it becomes more difficult. But yeah, I just think everything does become faster, I think. It's, or maybe you're just more aware of it. You know, as you get older, I suppose, maybe you're just aware of time you don't see people or you want to see people. Or I think just time just does funny things to you. And life takes over and things happen and you roll with those and you deal with whatever comes your way. And then sometimes that means you can't keep up with as many people as you'd like to.
Yeah, I'm fearing we're slowly sounding like two middle-aged men now. Oh, you know, it's taking stock of life. Like, what's happening? Are we ill?
This is like therapy.
Well, hence is why I'm doing this podcast called The Hang, because I miss hanging. I miss my friends. I miss, you know, not texting.
Yeah.
Having eye-to-eye contact, face-to-face time, you know. And, you know, it's a thing. They call them smartphones, but they're not making me any smarter.
Well, do you know, actually, I read this really cool thing the other day, which I think is so, it's so kind of indicative of the time, if that might not be the right word, but I'm going to say it.
Say what you want, brother.
But Americans call them cell phones, and they say, well, they call it a cell phone because you're trapped within it. You're imprisoned in it. You know, that's
right.
And I thought actually that's quite a nice little thing to think about, because we are now. I mean, you know, the amount of people, this is the thing, isn't it? You walk through, I don't really come into central London very much, unless I'm working or you have to come into it or something, because it's really, really busy. And everyone now is as busy as it gets on Oxford Street, Regent Street, which are busy anyway. Everyone is now face down texting or looking at a map or looking on whatever, and no one's looking up, and it's no one's taking stock of what's around them and stuff. And yeah, this is sounding again like an old boy's rant, but it's give me my pipe. Where's my slippers? But it's that thing, isn't it? I think we're all slave to our phones, and I think unfortunately we kind of have to be to a certain degree. But it is nice to do things like this. Like when you text me and ask me to come and do this, it was such a great thing, because we just get to hang out and chat, and that's the best thing about it.
And I got to be honest, it was hard for me to finally commit to this with Sony, who have been so great to kind of help make this happen.
Yeah.
But is that, like you just said, I never come into London. I never come to London.
Yeah.
I haven't been in London since I don't come to London unless I need to be, and that's partially why I miss doing West End shows, because there was a camaraderie, there's a, you know, you get to see people, even just meet up for coffee before a show.
Yeah.
So now to meet up with mates when I live out in Essex.
Well, again, that's another thing, isn't it? It all depends, again, where people live. A lot of people are moving out of London now as well. Mm. You know, so I think it becomes more and more tricky, and people grow up and they have kids and it becomes more difficult to organize their time. I've got a few friends who live really close to me, like really good friends of mine. You know, they've got young kids.
I'm trying to take off my jacket.
Remember that workshop we did for Houdini? It's like stuck. Watching that.
Oh, did we do that together?
We did, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah, go on. So your friends are, you live nearby your friends. I'm sorry, for those
listeners, what I just saw was
five people listening to this. I was just trying to take off my jacket for the past minute and I was stuck.
I was quite worried for his safety. He's sweating.
I started sweating and panicking. I'm like, I can't get this off.
The look of fear that flashed past your eyes just then, it was like you were drowning. I was concerned.
Carry on.
Yeah, I don't even know what I was saying.
Where you live, you've got friends that live nearby.
Yeah, so I've got friends. So literally, I've got friends who live 1 mile away from me. I've known them for 15 years. Like such good friends of mine. They had kids recently. They're now into the toddler phase. And literally, to meet up with them for an hour, they have to put this entire plan into place. And that can work or it can't. I mean, I've arranged to meet them on Sunday. And he said, well, look, in theory, I can do this, but then, you know, maybe I'll have to pull out because of whatever reason. So things just get in the way, don't they?
Yeah, and it's just getting that balance. It's getting that balance of you still, you know, you're like me, ambitious.
Yeah.
And you want to keep furthering your career and, you know, you have to show up.
Of course.
But you also, we know what's important, you know. I think when I talk about, you know, it takes 40 minutes or 50 minutes to get into London, you have to plan getting home. But, you know, you you get what you give.
Yeah.
With relationships. And that's absolutely what's important, right?
Yeah. It's maintaining them, really. And it's how you choose to maintain them or how you go about maintaining them, I think. Mm. Isn't it? Because it's one thing to keep in touch, but actually it's the face-to-face things like this. They're the ones you that's the best, really. It's the best way to do it. But they're often the hardest to do.
And ironically, this is, I guess, still straddling work and,
yeah,
you know, connection. But I figured if it's a start, it gets me out. It gets, look, I get to see you now, yeah, finally, and hopefully this is planting seeds for things off mic.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you're like me in a sense with your social media as well. You want to have, I guess what they say, content, some positive stuff, not just, because I find I've been doing less on there, especially like my, one of my New Year's resolutions was no selfies.
Yeah.
Because I, even on the train coming in today, I see someone doing, taking 20 minutes to take a selfie.
Yeah.
And I'm watching her do these like filters and I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah. I had the same thing yesterday. I was, I was on the bus going to see, my sister was viewing a flat, and I tried to go and see her, but I was on this bus and this bus was stuck. I mean, that's boring, but I saw this girl. She was obviously getting bored. So she was looking through her phone and she was going through, she must have taken, it was all the same pose. It was all the same thing. Cause I was right over her shoulder and I was obviously looking at it, but she had like 20 pictures, which were exactly the same. She was flicking through them, flicking back. I was like, they're all the same. What are you looking for that's different? I don't understand. And we're all becoming obsessed. This is my favorite thing is now Insta-lize. I mean, that's Instagram is Insta-lize. It's a projection, I think, of your of a better version of self or something. And I think that's I think we can all do that a little bit, but
it's true.
But I think unfortunately it becomes this thing where younger people, certainly, who have grown up with this rather than us, we didn't grow up with this. No. So it's a bit like a novelty, like, well, that doesn't really make any sense. But the people who've grown up with it, they see these like projected images of, you know, these perfect looking people. And they think that's how they want to look or that's how they want to be. And I'm like, but that's not how it is. It's not. And it's a bad message to send out. But we all feed into it. So we're all hypocrites in that respect.
100%. I am too. I posted a fitness one yesterday and it took me a good half hour of like, should I, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Do I? Why do I want from this? What am I posting this for?
Yeah.
Still fucking posted. But I put the workout as well to kind of helpfully, yeah. You know, it's, of course there's vanity involved.
Of course.
But there's also, I guess, a pat on my own back for the work we do. For whatever, you know, like, but it, and I'm hoping it does inspire as well. When I see some of your fitness posts, it does get me going. Yeah. I'm like, okay, he showed up, so I'm going to show up.
Exactly. And I think it does help in that respect. I think if you're seeing other people doing that, you're like, well, yeah, I should go and do an hour now. You know what I mean? And it does do that. And I think there are a lot of positives. I'm not trying to make it sound like it's all a negative because it's not.
No.
And I think social media is good, especially for us as actors. It is something that we have to keep putting out. That's it. It's all a networking thing.
I think there's.
It just depends how many times or what you post or things like that. I think that's what it is.
I just think if you're being true to yourself, and that's what I'm still trying to work towards, and make sure it's a good representation of who I am as an artist more than anything. I don't want people to necessarily know me personally. I don't want to live my life on there. And I know some
things,
people do.
Yeah,
and that's fine if you're comfortable with that. If you want to engage like that. But I want to use it as a promotional tool, as a gratitude tool, you know, because I do have a good support system that's gathered over the years. That's why I'm doing this podcast as well. So they can meet you.
Yeah.
Or for some who don't know you or have this conversation. And I want to also celebrate connection, relationships. Yeah. And I guess we can do that in real time.
Exactly. And it's a very real, very tangible thing, isn't it? Because if you get to, you post that tweet out or something saying, thank you all so much for coming to X event, you know, because you haven't got time to go and say it all to everyone personally or, you know, whatever, or if you have to go and shift off or whatever. But, you know, it's a good way of saying thank you. It's a good way of showing that gratitude and saying, thanks for buying the tickets. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for buying the album. Thanks for, it's a nice way of just kind of having that little bit of connection with everybody who supports you over the years.
Yeah, and I think if you are true to yourself with it, it becomes a lot of fun. Like I used to do storyboards when I used to take Hadley to school.
Yeah.
He hated it. I loved it. It was so much fun. Yeah. You know? I miss doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyhow, brother.
Yeah.
So, years apart.
Yeah.
Man, you've done quite a bit of stuff, brother.
Yeah.
And
I thought, well, how far do we go back? The things that came to my head, I'll just randomly throw out stuff.
Yeah.
I want to know the experience about it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, yeah, he did that. He did that. Weakest Link dressed as Raoul Vicomte de Chagny.
Yes. Well, that was mental. Because
now,
that was...
We should, because Weakest Link is a game show which is no longer on air here.
That's right, yeah.
Who was the host?
So it was Anne Robertson was the host.
You are this Weakest Link. Goodbye.
You are the Weakest Link. Goodbye. That's with a little wink.
That's right.
You know, yeah, and that was crazy because it was when I'd first... I think that was in my first week of Phantom. You know, so we're going back. It's 2008 because when I joined... and I got this email through to saying, do you want to go on this West End Weakest Link thing? And so, of course, I said, yeah, it sounded like fun. And it was myself, it was Summer Stralin, Ryan Malloy, Matt Rawle.
That's right.
Rachel Tucker. There was loads. But it was just a really good, fun day. And it was just a silly day. It took... I can't remember how long it took, but we filmed it and it was all based around musicals, obviously,
yep.
You know, and, oh, Diane Pilkington as well, because Pilkey,
yeah,
who
lovely.
I loved a bit.
What a great bunch of people.
It was such a good bunch of people. And that's what made it the most fun, because I think Ryan had just started in Jersey Boys. So that was when Jersey Boys just begun. And there was a huge buzz about that.
Thing. And him.
And him, of course.
Justifiably.
You know, exactly. Because he was like talking because he was the lead singer of Frankie Goes to Hollywood at that point and all that stuff. So it was having really interesting little stories come out. It was like sort of doing this, but in for 5 minutes. You know what I mean? With each person and kind of saying the kind of things they'd done or were on to do next or whatever it was. And we all just had fun. It was a silly day. There was no pressure on it. Everything was, all the money that was going towards it was going to charity. So it was a nice thing for that. Everyone was dressed up as the characters.
Yeah, I remember
you know,
that.
So it was really fun. You know, it was just a really, really fun day.
Were you the Weakest Link?
I wasn't the Weakest Link. And still to this day, I take umbrage with Diane Pilkington because she voted me off.
Why did she vote you off?
Because I think it was all tactical, because it sort of started to become the guys against the girls.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
They would use tactics. So
and
they
she
would...
was right next to me. I was stood next to her because she was Glinda at the time.
So I guess sometimes you would vote off who you think was the smartest because you think, get them out.
Basically,
I go up the rankings.
Well, that's the thing, you know, because we were the ones that went out first. Had to go out first because it was some real answers.
Who
in
was
there.
The first one who went? Come on.
Rachel Tucker was the first one out.
Oh, bless her.
Rachel
heart.
Tucker was the first one out. And I think she was a bit like, oh, what's going on? We were all a little bit like confused about what was going on because we're like, oh, we're playing the Weakest Link now. It was kind of surreal.
Not Rachel.
She wasn't playing. But no, she was ace. But it was just like, we all then started to kind of twig onto the game. And then it was, well, you're actually quite good, so we should vote for you. But I saw Diane. It was, it must have been like a week afterwards. And I didn't know that well at that point. Mm-hmm. And I walked into this, after a show, and I walked into this bar. It was a Saturday night. And she just, within minutes, she brought over this shot of Sambuca and went, I'm really, really sorry.
Oh, that is so much like her. She would do that.
Yeah. And of course, I've got to know her really well now because I just did this show with her called Whisper House, I say just a couple of years ago. And we became really, really good friends. And in fact, while I was on tour with Jersey Boys and we were playing Aylesbury, she sent me a message just about four, 6 weeks before it was coming and saying, do you have digs for Aylesbury? Because I live 10 minutes from there and you've got a house whenever you want it.
Oh, man.
So I stayed with her for 2 weeks, her and her lovely family.
She's an incredible human
being
and an insane artist.
Insane. I mean, absolutely. I mean, one of the very best. And she now we kind of joke, we're now like brother, sister. We got like theater brother and sister. And I love the bones of her. She's such a great person.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah,
Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So tell me about Whisper House.
Whisper House was a really strange experience.
Because that I didn't know about.
Whisper House was straight after Jersey Boys London. And someone had asked me to do it, and I didn't know anything about it, so I was a bit like, I don't know what. Anyway, so Simon Lipkin had come to watch one of the last shows of Jersey Boys, and I said, "So what are you up to next?" And he said, "Oh, I'm doing this thing called Whisper House." I was like, "Oh, someone just asked me to do that." So he said, "Well, let's do it then." He said, "Di Pilkington's doing it, Neve Perry's doing it," and I was just like, man. So I rang the next day, and I was like, "I am so in."
So is that something you look towards? So if you get an offer or, you know, an interest in something, what's your first question besides how big's the part or something like that? Or do you think who else is working? Who's the director?
Well, it was a good one because it was written by Duncan Sheik, who wrote Spring Awakening and American Psycho and like awesome. And it was this story, and basically it was set in this lighthouse. And basically the lighthouse was haunted by these two ghosts. The ghosts were then played by me and Neve Perry.
And she's so ethereal. Man.
Oh, man. Like, she couldn't have been more perfect for that part. Yeah. And it was just this kind of like, kind of semi-rock style musical. Once again, a lot of like freedom because we couldn't, obviously the characters couldn't see us, but we had magic involved with it. So we would do things like, there was one scene where Simon was smoking and they'd attached this like little bit of fishing wire to the cigarette. So when he took the cigarette out of his mouth, I would kind of raise my fingers up and the cigarette would lift into the air and then back down and he would then take a drag of the cigarette again. So it was like little things like that, which were really good fun. It was a strange show because it was kind of, on one hand, it was two people singing songs and then it was a story that ran in the middle of that, but they didn't quite marry. That was the thing. And it was great. You know, you never know what you're getting into when it's something new. And I think it's always good to take little risks like that because you never know what you're getting into. The well-worn path is not always the right path, you know, but it's just good to take a risk and see what happens. And I don't think the show necessarily set the world on fire, but we had such an amazing time doing it. Like, again, I mean, listen to that group of people. We were all in the same dressing room pretty much the whole time. We had a blast.
Isn't that great when you, especially like when you do big shows and you're playing a part or the lead, you get your own room, everyone, you say, oh, that's cool, you get your own room. But man, when you get to share and you're a company, your family, you're all in it together.
That's it.
You're all there as artists creating something.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh, I love that. You know, and we had that thing, like, I think the girls were in a separate room, but we were together the whole time. I mean, just laughing.
Especially for a new piece that's got a short run.
Yeah.
I think the more you are as a unit and a family.
And of course, I think, you know, we all kind of knew that it was what it was.
Is there a cast recording?
No. There is. I mean, there was a concept album, which Duncan did himself, because it started off as kind of a folksy. And I listened to that, and some of it was really great. And I was kind of interested to see how you were going to throw a story in there as well. Because the concept album was kind of like a story, but it wasn't the story that was told. So it was just an interesting time.
So where was this put on?
The Other Palace.
The Other Palace.
Yeah.
They do some great stuff.
Really good stuff. I mean, this is what people need. Was it Paul Taylor Mills who produced it? I think it may have been. Or it might have been The Other Palace just as its banner. But this is where I love what Paul Taylor Mills is doing, is that he's taking things which no one would really sort of back or trust or think of. And he's giving it a platform. This thing, MT Fest, which he's doing, it's like little snippets of, I didn't get to see it because I was on tour, but I read things about it. And you put on things that are obscure and you get an audience or a platform for it. And then you put it on, you know, I think what he's doing is brilliant.
Wait, so MT Fest, is that where they had a different artist every night?
No, so MT Fest was kind of like, they would have 20 shows and they would get five actors and it would all just be stand up, read the script, learn the thing, and do it all in like 2 days. But you would just give it, you'd give it a voice. You know, you'd give, you know, from page to stage kind of thing.
It's sort of like what they do a lot of this in New York. Obviously, a little bit on a bigger scale because there's more funding and there's more obviously
are they support called lab? For it. Is that called a lab?
Well, there's that, but there's also like the Encores presentation, what we did with Parade, Secret Garden, Chess, where you still have the book in hand.
Yeah.
You semi-stage it. And it's that thing, obviously, because there is more funding for it there and you have a week or two of rehearsals.
Yeah.
You come in thinking you're going to hold the book, but then you get into it.
You get into it and you know,
we can, let's do this on this bit. And,
yeah.
Because it becomes so much fun. And I think I sometimes almost prefer doing that because you leave so much to the audience's their own imagination to put the set together in their head and what they experience. It's a great ride.
It's a great, And I think that was, it was such a good idea of him to do that. And because it sounds very, very similar to that thing, just a shorter time.
So Paul Taylor, and he's a young guy, right?
Young guy. And he's just started this, this theater in Battersea called the Turbine Theater. So what I think he left.
Oh, wait, they're doing High Fidelity,
right? That's right. Yeah. Which has got a week left, I think. And because it's really close to where I live.
So have I'm going to.
No, I'm probably going to go next week.
I've heard great things.
Yeah. And, you know, it's something that hasn't been given too much of a voice before, that some people sort of know of but aren't quite sure about. And I think just having people's intrigue, I mean, it's great to have these huge shows up in the West End, which are, you know, because they do great things.
I think we need all the sort of like seeds being planted as well. And I think they all can feed and help each other.
Yeah. Anything that can help theatre is a bonus, really. I mean, just kind of making the same decisions and putting the same things on is fine for one thing. But I mean, in terms of longevity, in terms of keeping people's interest, I think you have to do what Paul's doing. And that's taking risks and going, this might not make a shit ton of money, but it's going to get out there. Or it might do, you know, but it's just getting things out there which people wouldn't necessarily go, oh, I want to go and see that. But he's making them accessible enough so you can go and see them, and it's, you know, and you can take a risk on watching stuff. Because I think as a nation, I suppose, or maybe it's across the board, I don't know, I think we're sort of becoming, we need to know what we're watching before we watch it. Yeah. Does that make sense? Like, there's a lot of movies being made into musicals, and there's, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I think it's kind of, well, I know what that is. I trust that. Yeah. I can trust spending £70 on a ticket because I know I'm going to enjoy it, rather than going, don't know what that is, might not like it, not going to go.
Yeah,
and that's what Paul's doing. He's, you know, he's kind of making these shows very affordable to go see, which is great, and everyone, you know, can afford to take those chances, which is brilliant.
A lot of these shows, man, got great talent on that stage.
Great talent. Yeah, great talent. I mean, the guy, Oliver Ormson, who I've done a few gigs with in the past, he's leading that show, and he's a super talented guy.
He's had great write-ups.
Yeah, super talented guy. You know, so these are all, it's all positive stuff.
Amazing, man.
It's all good stuff.
So, tell me about, I think our first time that we really met.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Go on.
That we really met was auditioning for Teatro.
That's right.
Yeah. Because.
And where was that audition? Was that Piccadilly?
Yeah. No, do you know? It was
Leicester Square Theatre.
The first one was in the Spice of Life pub.
Holy crap. That's
right. Remember, it was downstairs where they do the open mics? It was down there. And then the Recalls were in Leicester Square.
So, holy shit. So, Spice of Life, what did we do that day?
We were all, it was kind of all getting to rant, like different groups. They gave us a piece. We learned some harmonies.
That's right.
And then they would kind of take people out or keep people in, move everyone around and see what worked and what didn't and blah, blah, blah. And it was there.
Was that an all-day thing?
That was an all-day thing, yeah.
And then they said, come back.
Yeah.
See, my memory starts at the Piccadilly.
So yeah, so the Leicester Square Theatre was when they'd cut, I think, like 75% of the people. And then, do you remember, we all stood in like a line in the Leicester Square Theatre, like this close to a recording contract with Sony, and just it was like shooting ducks in a barrel, you know, because we were all
I was one of those ducks, man. Round one, Ramin.
Shit. I went, bye-bye. What? What are you doing?
No, it was the right choice. I was all over the place.
No, you weren't. I think it was, you were just going to be a huge star somewhere else.
So you made it, and it was you, Stephen Roman Hughes.
Me, Stephen Roman Hughes, who I saw the other day, actually. Yeah. I haven't seen him for a while.
Andrew Derbyshire.
No, Andrew DePalacky.
Who's Andrew Derbyshire?
Andrew Derbyshire was, he was a Galileo in We Will Rock You.
That's right.
Amazing singer. Britain Got Talent. A good friend of mine. He's a brilliant singer.
Wait, he was on Britain's Got Talent?
Yeah. He got to the singing. He was in the, a couple of years ago, two, three years ago.
As a soloist?
Yeah. Got good to semi-finals. Did really, really well. Yeah, did really well.
Well, big shout out to Andrew Derbyshire. But he wasn't in teatro because Andrew in teatro was?
Andrew DePalacky, who, oddly, was I went to school with. I've known him since I was 13 years old.
Was he blonde?
He was blonde.
He was blonde.
And tall.
That's right.
6'4". Not as tall as the guy we saw today.
A security guard. He must be pushing 6'8", 6'9".
He's on 7. I mean, that guy was big.
That's who you want on security.
Yes.
And you walk into a corporate office building.
Kind of wanted to say, is it cold up there? I didn't want to say
don't
it just
say
in case.
That. You can't say that. But you didn't, which is great.
I didn't say that.
You can't.
No, because it's nice. Like it.
So, just real quick, Andrew Derbyshire, is he blonde as well?
Okay, great.
Not as tall, though.
Not as tall. No, but he's
great
blonde.
Singer, too.
Mm.
So back to your Andrew. Was there a fourth member?
Yeah, Jeremiah James.
Of course.
Yeah. Jeremiah has now gone back and lives in New York now. He's kind of producing theatre.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's kind of producing stuff now. I think he still does bits and pieces, but he's gone more into producing. He actually brought one of his shows over here.
Do you ever wonder, like, are we doing enough? Do you ever think about producing?
Do you know, it's funny. In the last year, I've thought about stepping out, not stepping out of what I do, but adding a string to the bow. It was funny. I was talking about AI projects.
Because you said string to the bow. You know right away I'm thinking of David Brent quote, philanthropist. It always comes back.
I know.
For those listening and wondering what this inside joke is, our age group and our time, you know, growing up in the West End and doing all the shows, all our circle of friends, our common denominator was Ricky Gervais and The Office.
Yeah.
To this day, I'll see Hadley Frazier within the first three sentences.
Yeah.
There will be a David Brent.
There's something. Well, in fact, I mean, because whenever I speak to Hadley, like, which is usually over like a Twitter thing or some of that, it's always comes back with
it'll get there.
A David Brent quote will be in there somewhere.
Simon Lipkin's another.
Yeah, loves it.
Scott
Scarnham. I
mean, it's just
I don't know where he ends.
I don't think he knows where he ends anymore. He's like
because he's so good at it though. Like he's so funny with it. But everyone, I mean, like you say, around our kind of age group, everyone, if you do a little, you know, the teeth thing over the lip, everyone's in.
I throw it on set every now and then at Olby, and Rosie's like,
oh my
don't
God.
Do it.
Yeah.
We're screwed if you do it.
Yeah. Oh, completely.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, of course it is. You know, like, I mean, I remember this is not a David Brent thing. But do you remember that time? We are very professional, FYI, listeners, except for sometimes. Remember in Phantom, when we did something during the mausoleum, and then which went into the final.
this wasn't David Brent, though.
No, I know it wasn't David Brent, but I don't know why I just thought of it, because that's another thing that we like to do.
Okay, we're going to come back to your theatrical story.
Oh,
don't forget. But I remember this.
Yeah.
Because your line was, can't you see she'll never be yours, right?
So it's something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the scene? Can't you see she'll never be yours?
Oh.
More tricks in the show.
More tricks, yeah. What is that about?
Let's say it was can't you see? Yeah, you did them. Can't, let's say it's on the line. Can't you see she'll never be yours?
Yeah.
You did it with such conviction and you shook your head. It went like, can't you see she'll never be yours? And then I thought, I'm going to mock you back. With all like the right intention.
Yeah.
That's right. Keep walking this way. So I mimicked what you did to me.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, when you're in it, then you suddenly realize, did he just mock me?
Yes.
And then I can see your face go between, was that Ramin or the Phantom? But I could see you process this. And I'm going, I wasn't making fun. I wasn't making fun. That's what I was trying to tell you with my eyes.
And then we both turned into Colm Wilkinson.
When in doubt,
go to the guy, and we begin, and that was it. And then it became a Colm Wilkinson.
Because at that point, I thought, we got to get this scene.
We have
done.
To just don't just
because
do it.
I know what you're thinking.
Yeah,
and I'll have to discuss this off stage. Yeah. By going, I wasn't making fun of the choice.
Yeah,
I wasn't. It was the Phantom making fun of Raoul.
Well, because you remember, that was we had a similar thing. I think I must have been really in it one day. Do you remember there was one day I spat at you?
I loved it.
And because your eyes turned and you ran at me like you were going to kill me. And I was like, oh my God, I really pissed him off. I was just like doing acting. It was, and then at the end, I was
acting.
Like, and then, like, and then at the end, I remember I said to you when the curtain came down, I was like, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. And you were like, no, I loved it. I was like, yeah, but I just spat at your face.
That's fine.
That's fine. That's fine.
With this face, a little bit of hork is the least of my worries. I also remember why I loved working with you in that final air. Spend your days with me, something like that, I say. And then, you send your lover to his death.
Yeah.
And I slapped you.
Yeah.
And you went with it.
Yeah.
And I remember I hit you and you went with it. And I go back, I was like, you went with it. This is the point of no return.
Yes. But now, I'm glad we go back to that, back to Phantom, because they were some of the best. Some of the best days. I remember we had such a good, a good relationship anyway as friends, but also such a good working relationship. It was just like nothing was ever like left untried. I kind of felt like when I, because of course you left before I did because you went to go and do Love Never Dies, but I kind of felt like we'd done absolutely everything we could possibly do.
Yeah.
And not like, I didn't feel like it was ever forced or like, can we do something? Oh, it's Tuesday. Let's do something different because it's Tuesday. It was just, we just, did stuff.
We had a great building to work in. And also, we had great, we were spoiled with phenomenal Christines.
Yeah.
And we were all hungry to just always improve, you know? Improve our craft, improve our characters, serve the show as best we can.
Yeah.
Right till the final day. I had the best time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't talk about it much anymore because I feel like I've said all I want to say about the experiences publicly. And now with interviews, I just feel like I'm repeating myself.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be bored.
Yeah.
But to speak with you about it.
Yeah, it's different though, isn't it? I suppose, because I never really thought about it much, but of course you must get asked about it so much because of, doing the 25th, doing the thing, because of course that's on DVD for everyone to see and it's on this and it's on that. Because of course, to so many people, you're the definitive Phantom because they've probably seen you more. So I guess you must get asked about it loads. Whereas for me, it's fun to talk about because it's not someone that ever really, you know, you can talk about it with, a lot of people, whenever you do stuff, you go, oh, you did Phantom. What did you do in Phantom? Oh, it was Rao. Oh, that was great. I'm like, all that stuff. So I don't get asked about it as much as I guess you do. But yeah, like you say, we had such a good time. And my God, that cast that we had, when we started, it was, you, me, Gina Beck.
Isn't she awesome?
Unbelievable. Robin North as well, we had,
That's right. Wait. Oh, so you were there when then Robin and Layla came in?
No. So.
Or was that before you?
That was before me. So Robin and Layla did. They shared.
And then
it.
Robin stayed on as alternate.
She did the two, and then Gina did the six. Because right. I think she had a baby or something. So she did the two or something like that anyway. That's why she did two. But yeah, so it was like you and me and Gina, we did the six. And of course, Robin as well. But it was such a good time. It was Gareth Snook, Barry James. Oh, it was just like an incredible cast.
Gareth Snook.
So Gareth Snook is now my neighbor.
That's dangerous.
Like, that's dangerous. But I love that man. And like, you know, the first day I met him, because it was the first day of Phantom rehearsals. And I just finished working with Tracy Bennett in Les Mis, who I became really good friends with there.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, now you're doing Phantom, you're going to meet my best friend, Gareth Snook. And she goes, I can already see that being dangerous. And the first day I walked up to him, I said, I've been told we're going to be best friends. And he went, so have I. And I said, is this dangerous? He went, yep. I went, fine, just so we know.
Well, I was a big fan of Gareth. I was a bit nervous to meet him. And I was, you know, he's a phenomenal actor.
Oh, my God.
And for me, the 25th anniversary, some of the stuff he did and what the camera caught.
Yeah. I mean,
the guy's a genius.
He's a genius. Every time I see him do the ballet, that, it just makes me howl. Because he's just...
I'd be laughing in the angel like, sometimes. I'd be like, yes. That was good. He's another one where you kind of didn't know what you're going to get each night. Because he had that...
The little bit of... he could do.
Which is so exciting.
Yeah. Because for that character, it so worked. It wasn't to make you laugh. It was because that was all comes from the character. And of course, if you drop out of character for a minute and you see Gareth doing that, rather than that, which is on you, that's your fault, then it would just be funny. But
100%.
He's like, the man is, I mean, such a good actor and such a good human. You know, I love
when
him.
When he would be on with Tim Morgan, I was so happy not to be Raoul anymore, because I was like, how is Simon dealing with them too?
Terrible. Well, this was, I mean, it was such a good learning curve for me, I think, that, because it was, I think that was the biggest role that I played, I think. Maybe it is, but that was the biggest role that I played. And I, you know, obviously I took it seriously, you know, and I think because there'd been moments before, like past before, where I hadn't taken things as serious as I should do, because I was like, I'm in a West End show, this is crazy. And I would treat it more as a hobby, I think, you know, like, but then when people started to take me a bit more seriously, then you take yourself a bit more seriously.
You got a sense of responsibility, of, and you realize what we do is a gift.
Yeah.
You know, this is a
and we're
vacation.
Super
this
lucky.
Is,
yeah.
It's what we dreamed of doing.
Exactly.
And I go back to Phantom, and I think, and it's pure joy that I was there one contract. You know what I mean? Like one time I've played it.
Yeah.
But any fun stuff that became a byproduct or it just happened was because I feel we approached it with such joy. It was a joy to go to work every day.
Absolutely.
So I always say, everything starts with the best intention. And then I look out. I remember coming down those stairs in Masquerade. Thank God I had a mask and a mask. And I'm just staring, especially when Tim was on. I'm looking at Tim. I'm looking at Gareth. I'm like, would you just look at me?
Yeah.
Look at them, look at me. I'm like...
Would you just take a look? Well, that was a nice that was with backs to the audience. That was quite a fun one. It was probably good that you had that giant.
Yeah, and I was just like, that trapdoor can't come any sooner, mate.
Just go.
So theatrical.
Yeah.
Which I got eliminated from in the round one. I'm over it though.
Yeah, fine.
I can take it.
Thanks for listening to part one of my hang with one of my favorite people, actor Simon Bailey. Stay tuned for the rest of the hang in part two. Don't forget, you can connect with me at bpn.fm/thehang and on Instagram and Twitter at Ramin Karimloo. The Hang is produced by Dori Beristein and Alan Seals from the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find me online at bpn.fm/thehang. Don't forget, you can connect with me on Instagram and Twitter at Ramin Karimloo, on YouTube, a roaming Iranian, or my Facebook page, Official Ramin Karimloo. Music for my podcast is by my friends and one of my favorite bands, The Dives. Please check them out at their website, thedivesmusic.com. That's thedivesmusic.com, where you can get to know them, hear their incredible music, get links to all their socials, and most importantly, their tour dates, where you can find out where you can see and hear them live. They are truly a great band and they are phenomenal live. Check them out.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.